All right, Chief. Sorry.
Back to item H. It is a no-action item, but and no materials in your binder. I invite the presenters, Mr. Martin Hoshino, Mr. Kurt Soderlund, Mr. Corey Jasperson, and Mr. Zlatko Theodorovich to present.
Good morning.
I'm going to ask the staff to start.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chief and Martin. I'll go briefly over the memo that we did issue on January 9th. Hopefully you were able to participate in the statewide calls that we had going over the budget items. And for those of you that did participate in last week's budget advisory committee meeting, in which we went through much of this, don't be redundant, we'll make it quick so we can get some the questions and hopefully get some guidance in terms of going forward. So the state budget issued on the 9th included an important reinvestment of $90 million for the trot course. This is on top of the $86.3 million that was included in this last budget. It was part of the 5% commitment that the administration had made to increase trot course funding without any specific restrictions or line items on that. It was just, a belief and an expectation that that be considered by the council, and I think folks are looking at as part of the WAFM distributions. An important issue that I'll just go into the dollars and then Kurt will address later is judicial branch employee-related costs, retirement, and health benefit costs. A substantial amount of money was put in this budget on top of last year's amounts, $51.6 million total, of which $42.7 million is for the trial courts. Those are for health and retirement benefits. Cost increases, those are important expenses that we need addressed, similar to other state agencies. Approximately $8.9 million for state level judiciary, including judicial salary benefit increases. We have, as Martin has discussed, almost $27 million for Prop 47 implementation, an ongoing effort with the administration and legislature to ensure that that workload is funded. And so those amounts may change as we go forward because those were our preliminary estimates, but we are committed to working with the administration and legislature to monitor that workload and ensure that all the costs of implementation are addressed. You're aware that we do have a fund problem in our trial court trust fund. This was an issue of a great and important discussion last January or July when the budget came out, and there was a $22.7 million hole in the trial court trust fund from which we unfortunately had to allocate out to trial courts. The budget does not provide any additional resources relative to that shortfall, but does provide additional resources for a furthering of the problem in terms of our baseline revenue estimates of approximately $19.8 million. So as we look to the 15-16 fiscal year, there is some relief, ongoing relief to the trial courts and the trial court trust fund for that revenue decline, but we still do have and will have, unfortunately, carry forward this $22.7 million that we experienced in the 14-15 fiscal year. The budget reflects revenues retained in the Improvement and Modernization Fund, also another fund that we've had troubles with, overextending that fund and revenues declining. This will help reduce a hole in the Improvement and Modernization Fund, which funds technology, self-help, a number of important programs for the trial courts. Again, though, we have our two main trial court funds facing fiscal difficulties, and we're working with the Budget Advisory Committee to bring options to the council on how to deal with that. Important commitment by the administration in the budget was a proposed elimination of fee increases that were set to sunset at the end of this fiscal year. Approximately $37 million is generated from those revenues, and so those are important extensions. Notwithstanding our desire to get away from fees to support the branch, given the fiscal condition of the general fund, the Department of Finance was consistent with elimination of the sunset and continuing those revenues that help offset prior cuts. There's funding for judicial salary increases that were effective January 1 of this fiscal year, carrying forward consistent with government code that requires salaries for judicial officers to increase based on the average of state employees increases. There's a $4.6 million increase proposed for judicial state-level judicial branch employees, provide a 2% COLA.
There's language regarding a dependency council. While there's no new money in the budget for dependency council, it's clearly become an interested topic for the administration, as they've wrote in their governor's budget summary about their interest in looking at data and improving the way in which those funds are distributed out to the trial courts. There's some other technical items regarding rent for state level facilities that are included. Next, an issue regarding traffic amnesty program. If you recall, in 2011, we had a six-month traffic amnesty program that was proposed by the council. This now is an 18-month proposal by the administration to deal with some fund shortfalls in some other areas of the budget. Their hope is that through this amnesty program, we can collect additional revenues, and they can provide some support for some other programs related to peace officer training. There's $174 million for 12 construction programs, projects that are outlined in our memo. So all told, over the 3 years in which we've not had specific reductions, maybe there was underfunding of some items like the Trucker Trust Fund problem or our benefits. We do have, you know, a three-year reinvestment of over $240 million back into the branch, which is good news in terms of going forward. We hope to work with the administration for stable funding to go forward.
So 2 points I'd like to just emphasize real quickly. Zlatko mentioned the dollars that were added to the budget for retiree health benefits and other related costs. Several years ago, Department of Finance changed what had been the past practice for years and years and years. And back several years ago, we used to get those adjustments as what was called a technical adjustment. A BCP wasn't required, and they made that change for the entire branch. And so in the intervening period of time, we've been fighting, like hell, to get that restored, and now that's been successfully restored. So it's merely a technical adjustment for the entire branch. So that's a real win for everybody. And then on technology, there is still an ongoing dialogue with technology. We submitted a request for around $10 million for a land WAN in support of the courts. That BCP was not rejected, so it's still out there. And the discussions, I'm sure, is going to occur is that those dollars will be put into the May revise in all likelihood. And on top of that, they've asked to have meetings with Judge Herman and the JCTC, the Technology Committee, for further discussion.
Thank you. Justice Hull has a question.
Yes, maybe this is, I can wait until after we hear from Mr. Jesperson, but I was here last week when Judge Earl and the panel, including Zlatko, gave a very helpful presentation to the budget advisory to the presiding judges relating to the budget issues that have been referred to. And I recall, Zlatko, that one of the PJs, I think, maybe it was a court executive officer, expressed some concern about this 18-month amnesty program and what costs would attend that. And I take it there's nothing in the budget as it presently is constituted that would help the trial courts with costs that would be engendered by that program.
Costs for these types of collections are reimbursable, so they come off the top. The concern is you'd have to make an initial investment, and then as the revenues come in, then you can deduct your costs. So given the lack of fund balances and resources to sort of kickstart these programs and no funding to help trial courts, given that there's no new money for this, that's probably one of the concerns. Specific courts are concerned that they spent a lot of money to get very little back in terms of overall net benefit to the state. This is an ambitious 18-month program, three times as long as the last one, and that's going to be quite a burden on the branch, notwithstanding the ability to recover costs, because you have to put the resources forward in hopes that you generate sufficient revenues to cover your costs.
So let me add that this item will be subject to discussion next week in front of all the presiding judges and with SEAC, too. It's been calendared for discussion with them.
Okay, thank you. It does seem to me, though, that this is a matter that may come back before the council at some point to find the funds to at least go forward with the program subject to later reimbursement. Is that fair enough?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And Justice Hull, I would add that the trailer bill language for this and other proposals in the budget is probably several weeks away from being released, so a lot of details still to come. And, you know, we'll be working with the Department of Finance on that proposal. I'd also add just briefly where we are in terms of the timeline. The legislative analyst should have their report out on the budget. It usually comes out like the first week of February, so a couple of weeks from now. We'll look forward to that, and we would anticipate hearings in the Senate and the Assembly budget subcommittees probably later in March, April timeframe, and that's where we are in the legislative timeline.
May I ask, given your comments, Corey, is there, and Kurt's comments about this being on the agenda next week, is there some strategy that's beginning to be developed as to how we're going to approach this particular program if it goes forward? Or I think that was the question that the judge had last week, and of course it was premature. It's probably still premature, but are we going to, do we anticipate being advised that we suggest modifications or accept it as it's presently set forth or oppose it? How are we going to go forward with that?
So
and after Kurt, then Mary Beth, you want to speak to that?
So the discussions are taking place with regard to that particular program and how it might be implemented. We've also met with the Department of Finance and shared some concerns at 10,000 feet about that program. So it's still in flux at this point in time, but there are intimate discussions that are being held on it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Mary Beth?
So to that regard, I was just going to share. I did have a brief conversation with Martin about this particular issue, and I have started to have some conversations with court execs, and we want to expand it. We have kind of an informal court collections working group that's made up of court execs and CFOs to start some discussions on how we might kind of brainstorm and come up with some alternative solutions that might meet the goals that Department of Finance and the governor want to achieve. But maybe looking at amnesty from a little different perspective that will make it a win-win for both the judicial branch and the Department of Finance. So.
Thank you.
If I might just crystallize and underscore some of the comments from the staff, I want to remind folks that I think this is the broad point in Corey's comments is that, I mean, this is a proposal. That's what we have. It is just the beginning of the legislative process now for making a budget, and there's a long way to go on the road. What happens is budgets come out, and the language and the devilish details, as it were, that go along sometimes with the dollars is teased out later. So just as the LAO and other folks are analyzing the components of the budget, we are doing the same. And so there will be some back and forth, and so things will be more clear as we proceed and as we have the back and forth between finance and the other branch of government going forward. I wanted to also underscore what you're hearing in terms of the precise elements that Zlatko presented on the budget pieces that really is striking the theme almost of the prior years, which is the administration, I think, signaling to us and working with us and looking to work further with us on a stable formula. And we've tried to start the discussions about that stable formula and what it might look like, and not just for stability, which everybody seeks, not just in this branch but in all levels of government, but also how it can be sustained going forward. And so that's why I think you see the elements, certainly the philosophy or approach or principle behind Proposition 47's infusion, and it's also the same thing with filing fees. It's also then the same thing for employee costs at the trial court level, and it's, you know, also the backfill for the trial court trust fund. All of those seem to be flowing from the same approach, which is let's not make things worse, let's try and stabilize things, and then let's go to work on what might be something that is more stable and sustainable in the long run.
Very good. Thank you, Martin. Any more discussion on this topic before we move on? Thank you, Kurt. Thank you, Z, and thank you, Corey.
Thanks.